I'd like to read from the Bible just a little bit in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, just a few verses there. Luke chapter 18, verse 18, and it says, "A certain ruler asked him," that's asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honour your father and mother. All these I've kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this morning. Now, got a question for you today. And I'm hoping my question is just going to come up on the screen just in a moment. And it's something for us to ponder, something for us to think about. It's a question which, well, for many of us, I guess we've probably asked it at some point in our past and in our lives. And the question is, it's not coming up. Yes, it is. There it comes. One big question mark. And here is our question. Are you good enough? Are you good enough? And if we ask the question, are you good enough? Well, you're saying, good enough for what? You know, what is it that I need to be good enough for? If it's in the examination room at the school or something, you say, have I done all my studying? Am I good enough to pass all my exams? And that might be the question that needs to be addressed. Or maybe it's a job interview and you say, well, am I good enough to get the job? Or maybe you're thinking of going to church, and you think, am I good enough to go to church? How good do you need to be? Don't know. Or good enough for, I don't know, there could be a whole lot of things that we might think about whether we're good enough or not. But the important thing, the most important one, is whether we are good enough to go to heaven. And that really is a key issue in life, isn't it? Are we good enough to go to heaven? And there's a big question. I mean, heaven. Heaven's a great place, isn't it? Heaven's the place where you would want to be. And it's important to make sure that we get it right. And to make sure that we end up in heaven. Because it's such a great place. It's a place where the streets are paved with gold. You know, and well, I got a gold ring on my finger when I got married. And, well, that's just a little bit of gold. And I suppose if I get to heaven and I take my gold ring with me, then folk will say, what are you doing with a bit of concrete around your finger? Because that's what it'll be like. You know, they use gold to pave the streets. Can you imagine it? Just seems ridiculous. It just is something that's beyond our thinking. But what it's really saying is this. What the Bible says when it says the streets are made with gold is that it's a place of opulence. There's that great riches there. I can remember last year, I went on holiday to Austria, and I discovered in Austria that there are lots of small hills, there's lots of great big mountains as well, there are lots of small hills, and at the top of all these small hills we discovered that there was a castle, and a chapel, and a cafe, and I found the cafes to be very useful indeed, and the castles were quite interesting to look around, but so were the chapels, little churches. And inside most of these churches, you couldn't get in. You could look in, but they had iron railings up. And you could look through the railings, but you couldn't get past. And the reason was, they were full of gold. They were in the middle of nowhere, but they were full of gold, gold-covered statues. Maybe they were solid gold, I don't know. We didn't get near to find out. That there's gold everywhere, and you looked at it and you thought, opulence, vast wealth. Well, in heaven, the streets are made of gold. It's just what you walk on, right? Nothing special, it's what you walk on. and there's the tree of life there with 12 different fruits. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we only get one fruit from any tree, but there are 12 different fruits from the tree of life, the river of life. And in heaven, you know, there's no tears. We'll not be sad and mournful there. There's no death in heaven. We'll never be parted from loved ones there. You know, and right in the center of heaven's the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the light of heaven. It's never dark in heaven. It's always light. And so, you know, it's a great place to be. And there the people are worshipping the Lord Jesus. Are you good enough to get there though? Well, the Bible tells us that there is a big no entry sign to heaven. No entry. You can't get in if you've got sin in your life. The Bible says there's no sin in heaven. Nothing that defiles will ever enter in. No sin in heaven. Absolutely none. No pollution in heaven. Nothing to spoil it. Don't need to worry about your carbon footprint, you know, because that'll be something of the past. No pollution in heaven. Nothing that spoils it. Nothing to bring sadness, nothing to bring tears, nothing to bring death, because that's where death came from, is from sin. Nothing to bring illness and disease. None of that there at all. No sin in heaven. Everything absolutely perfect. And our minds can't really grasp that. Because we're used to things being imperfect. We're used to things wearing done and you have to throw them out. We're used to having to change our car from time to time. We're used to having to buy a new washing machine from time to time. We're used to having to renew things as they were done. Because that's what this world is like. But in heaven it won't be like that. There'll be nothing to spoil it. And it'll be a perfect place. Absolutely perfect. Wow. Great place to be. But there's that big no entry sign that says no sin in heaven. And when you think about it, that's quite fair. I mean, heaven is God's home. And if I was to come to your home, and let's say I just walked up the street today, there's been a wee bit of rain this morning already, and suppose I'd walked across the wee shortcut and I got mud on my feet, and I come to your door and I ring the doorbell and you open the door and you say, come in, and then you say, oh wait a minute, take your shoes off. Don't want you bringing that mud in my house. And you'd be quite right. And God says, come on in. Oh, wait a wee minute. You can't bring that sin in with you. You can't bring that dirt and filth in here. And God says that you can't get in. There's a big no entry sign. If you've still got sin in your life, you cannot come into heaven. And the reason is because God is a person who is just. And He's the one that decides. And that's good news, isn't it? I mean, it wouldn't be very good if it was up to me to decide who get into heaven. Because I would be looking at you and saying, oh, well, you're a good person, that's fine. And I might look at somebody else and think, well, they're not good. They've done something wrong and they shouldn't get in. But God looks and He knows everything about everybody. And God decides who gets in and who doesn't. And God is just. He always does for His right. And, you know, it says in Psalm 147 and verse 17 that the Lord is righteous in all His ways. All His ways, He's righteous. That's why we've got a justice system in our country. Because we're made in the image of God. And we believe in justice too, don't we? We like it when the police are there to keep law and order. If your house got broken into, you would be phoning up the policeman and they would come and they'd take all the details and go and look and chase after the criminal till they find them, and then they'd bring him to the court and he'd be sentenced by the judge in the court and he would have to pay the penalty for his crime. That's what we like to believe would happen, because we believe in justice. And so does God. The Lord is righteous in all His ways. Now, our justice system is good. but it's flawed. It's not always perfect. Sometimes mistakes get made. But God never makes mistakes. And so he's always right and always does what is correct and fair and righteous. Another verse in the Psalms, Psalm 130 and verse 3, it says, O Lord, if you kept a record of sins, who could stand? And there's not a single one of us could stand. We'd all be condemned, wouldn't we? A record of sins. We had the experiment with the children with the bowls with some holes in them. And, you know, the bowl with four big holes in the bottom of that bowl, and it sunk down very quickly. And sometimes we look at people's lives and we say, oh, they're terrible people. They'll go down. And we think, well, I've just got one wee tiny hole in my bowl. I haven't done much wrong. And yet God says if we've committed one sin, we're guilty of all. And as we saw with the bowls, even one tiny little hole causes you to go down. And so God in his justice says that wrong must be punished. That's what he's come up with. Wrong must be punished. And it says in Proverbs 11 and verse 21, the wicked shall not go unpunished. The wicked shall not go unpunished. And God says that wrong must be punished. And of course, just as sure as there's a heaven, there's also a hell. A hell to be avoided. A hell that we deserve. And whether we're a really bad sinner that's murdered and raped and robbed banks and done all kinds of bad things, or whether we're just good sinners, self-righteous sinners, you know, it's the same hell for everyone. And in our country here, we have different prisons for different categories of prisoner. And even in Berlini, which is a fairly large prison, inside that there are different areas for different categories of prisoner. I don't even think hell's like that. They're just sent there forever. And it's a terrible, terrible thing. Wrong must be punished. And we would believe in that for our society, because we're made in the image of God, but God brings it in an absolutely perfect way, because he is just. And I went to there and I didn't mean to. Right, so God is just, and that's what we're learning there. But also, God's a father. And those of us who are parents will understand this. Because God, as a father, is a God who believes in justice. And the parents in our society, we believe in justice. You know, when your child does something which is wrong, then we would punish or reprimand the child and to try and school them and to teach them into doing things which are right. And that's what we would do. And by doing that, it doesn't say that we don't love them. Of course we do. And God has these two aspects to his character. There are more aspects to God's character as well, of course. But these two that I just want to bring to your attention this morning. That God is just, yes, but God is also love. And while God says wrong must be punished, and as a parent looking after our own children, we would say that wrong has to be punished. But we love them just the same. In fact, we discipline our children because we love them. And that's what the Bible teaches that we should do. And God's got a heart that just reaches out to people in his great love for people. And God in his heart, it's a big heart. And as he looks at people and he loves us and he cares for us, he says, I don't want to punish you. I want to be able to welcome you into my home. And so love, the love of God provides the Saviour. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God in his great love has given a way whereby we can be saved and we can be rescued from the punishment that's due to come to us. We're all due to be punished. It's what we deserve. That's right, it's fair. But God in his love steps over that and he says, I'll give you a Saviour. But he still has to punish sin. And that Saviour went to a cross. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 3, in verse 18, that Christ suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. You see, sin had to be punished. And God punished Jesus for our sins. God punished Jesus for all these things that we've done wrong. And whether we've got lots of holes in our bowl, or whether it's just one tiny one or somewhere in between, doesn't make any difference to God. Because he says, you've broken one law, you've broken them all. You're still a sinner. And it has to be punished. And God came and punished Jesus for our sin. He suffered on that cross. It was costly. It was not an easy thing for him to go and to die on a cross. He suffered there. The just for the unjust. Well, the Lord Jesus is the one who's just. He's the one who always does everything right. The unjust, well, that's us, isn't it? We're the ones that do wrong. We're the ones that don't do things right. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on that cross for us. Why? That he might bring us to God. That's why. That he might bring us to God. You see, if we came into the presence of God with our sin, what would happen? He would have to punish us. But Jesus took the punishment so that we can come into God's presence, and our sin has already been punished. It's already been dealt with. And the Lord Jesus can bring us to God, and God says, what about his sin? And Jesus said, I've covered that. I've paid for that. I've suffered for it. And so God in his justice has punished sin, and God in his love punished the Savior, his own dear son, for our sin, that we could be brought to God, and that we could be allowed to come into the very presence of the eternal God. That's heaven. That's an amazing thing. And it cost the Lord Jesus a great deal, but it comes as a gift to us. Now, we were talking earlier about the number of days till Christmas. 31 days. Christmas is a time for giving gifts. And already people have started going to the shops, and the shops have got sales on, they tell me already, so that people can go and buy their gifts. And at this time of year, we buy gifts. But on Christmas Day, we don't buy gifts, we receive gifts. And the gifts that we've bought, we give. And on Christmas Day, when somebody comes to you with a gift, and you receive that gift, you don't reach into your pocket and say, how much was that? Have you got the receipt and I'll just pay you the money? You don't do that. You say, thank you. And then you unwrap the gift. And you say, it's just what I've always wanted. Whether it was or not. Because you're nice and polite. And if the person knows you quite well, maybe it is just what you've always wanted. And maybe it's just what you needed. Maybe it's something useful. And I often get told by my wife that, I've not to buy a household appliances. I can remember once she was moaning the Hoover wasn't picking up very well, and she said, I could do with a new one. And I said, I'll get you one for your Christmas. Oh, she said, you get me one of these for your Christmas, it'll be the last thing you ever do. And so, but it would have been useful. I didn't get her one for Christmas, just in case you're wondering, because I'm still here. I valued my life more highly than that. But a gift, something useful, something we need. But it's already been paid for. And the gift of eternal life that God gives to us, he's paid for it already. And all we need to do is receive it and say thank you. We don't pay for it. Oh, it'll change our lives and it'll make us different. And we'll want to worship God and we'll want to follow God. We'll want to stop doing the wrong sinful things and we'll want to live for God from now on. Yes, out of appreciation we'll do all these things, but we don't pay for it. And no matter how well we live for God, whether we're a good Christian, or whether we just live for God a little bit and we're not a very good Christian, doesn't alter the fact that that gift of eternal life came to you, freely to you. Because the Lord Jesus paid for it. He suffered on the cross so that we could be made right with God. It's a gift. And that gift is the Lord Jesus. And knowing the Lord Jesus is knowing God and knowing and having eternal life. That's how Jesus describes it. So, are you good enough to go to heaven? we can be by putting faith in the Lord Jesus, by trusting Him and receiving this gift of eternal life. But what about if I can't keep it? What am I meant to do then? How can I possibly stay good? It's all very well saying that the Lord Jesus comes and He makes me clean and pure and gives me this gift of eternal life. How can I stay good? Because I'm inclined to do wrong things. Even as a Christian, I'm inclined to do things that might be wrong. And so, how can I stay good? Well, the Lord Jesus has got that sorted as well. And the Bible tells us this, that when a person becomes a Christian, that Jesus comes to live inside of you. That's what happens. And He gives you His life and His power and strength to overcome evil. And so when we keep trusting in the Lord Jesus, we can do good. And Paul, who was one of the apostles, he wrote to a number of churches, but one of the churches he wrote to, the church in Colossae, he said this. He said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, glory we often talk about as being getting to heaven, but in actual fact it's not. Because when we go back to the book of Romans and in chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So our sin means that we fall short of God's glory. But when we become a Christian, Christ comes to live within us, and then we can live for God's glory. But don't fall short of God's glory anymore. We can live for His glory all the time that we trust in Him. And that's our only hope of glory. That's our only prospect of glory. That's the only way that we could have glory. It's the only way we can live for God in a right way is having Christ in us. We could try with all our might and we'd never live for God. Never do it successfully. We'd never glorify God. But when Christ is in us, then that is what makes the difference. And so Paul, as he writes to the church in Colossae, he says, you know, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Continue to live in Him. Keep going living in the Lord Jesus. And that will keep you right. And that's how we should be, that we should continue to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not be living in our own strength, our own energy, our own power, but living in the strength and energy that the Lord Jesus gives us. He makes us ready for heaven when we trust in Him. He died on the cross to make that possible. So He makes us ready for heaven, but He also keeps us on that road when we continue to live in Him. And it's keeping that close relationship with the Lord Jesus, keeping it right, that makes a difference in our lives. And I hope that each person today has received the Lord Jesus to be their Saviour. If you've not, then do it now. Even just where you sit, just quietly in your heart, ask God to come and forgive you for your sin, make you right with God, and to bring you right into His presence, to make you near with Him. And if you are a Christian, then make sure you're continuing to live with Him, and that you're keeping close to the Lord Jesus, and keeping Him in the centre stage of your life, keeping Him on the throne of your heart, if you like, and making sure that your life is in Him. Let's pray.